In the book of Joshua, chapter 24, Israel had come to an important crossroads of their existence. This is a well-known passage because there's a phrase in there that many people put on a plaque in their homes. I'd like to just reflect for a few minutes before we have a rededication of our facilities and buildings to think back and to think about our own renewing of a covenant. I'd like to read from Joshua chapter 24, beginning in verse 14. Joshua says this to the people of Israel. He says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." A covenant is all about relationship. God made many special covenants with people throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, with Adam and Eve, with Noah. One of the best known ones is with Abraham, also with the Israelites and Moses on Mount Sinai, later with King David. And then we have the new covenant in the New Testament with the shedding of Jesus' blood. To be in a covenant is to make a decision to stay in relationship. There's several parts to ancient covenants. There's what's called the preamble or the introduction. This is the list of attributes and shows the power of the great King. We serve an awesome God. He is all-powerful, almighty, and he knows each one of us because he has created every one of us. The next part of the ancient covenant treaty was the prologue. The prologue is what the mighty King has done for the conquered people or his vassal. In this case, we can reflect back on the 50 years plus or over 50 years that God has been working through the Church of the Nazarene here in Guam. Then following this are the stipulations. These are the laws, or the Ten Commandments is an example of the stipulations. These are what we need to do to keep ourselves in relationship with God. And then following this, the treaty or the covenant was deposited in some place. For example, the Ten Commandments were deposited in the Ark of the Covenant. And then either the gods or nature, or in the case of Israel, God Almighty was called as a witness. Later on in Joshua 24, we read that the people set up a rock as the witness of the covenant that was renewed at that time. And then there would be curses and blessings. Curses if the people kept the terms or if they broke the terms of the covenant, and blessings if they followed the covenant terms. We can read about those throughout the book of Deuteronomy and other places where there are the blessings and the curses. There are several occasions in the Bible where we have covenant renewal or a rededication of some type. Joshua chapter 24 gives us the occasion of when the people had come out of 40 years of desert wandering. They were just about to go into the new promised land. And at that point, they made a covenant renewal. That's because the people of that generation, they had learned the hard way of who God was. It took them 40 years of wandering. The people who were in Joshua 24, that generation, they were not born in Egypt. These were people born in the desert. The people who were born in Egypt, they had all died. God said that that generation would never go into the promised land. This is a new generation. Joshua renewed the covenant with a new generation here in Joshua 24. A new generation was born and raised in the desert. They had seen God's power at work. Every generation must choose for itself whether it's going to follow God or not. Every generation represented in this church has to choose this morning whether you will follow the way of God or some other way. Look at what God has done in the past and move forward with confidence into the future. The methods may change, the music may change, the styles of worship may change, but the same message is true today that was true back in Joshua's day. Throw away the old life of slavery. You're no longer slaves in Egypt. You're no longer slaves to sin. Make the choice now to put on a new self, to go into the promised land. Your decision will affect yourself and it will affect your family. Choose for yourself today whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will choose the Lord. Do not make a half-hearted decision like the people of Israel. In fact, if we go on to the very next book of the Bible, Joshua, Judges, and you come to the book of Judges chapter 2, you will read that they did not do what they said they were going to do that day. Because the next generation arose and they did not know God. They failed to do what they promised to do in Joshua 24. And it led to a lot of problems for many centuries. No one present here today, it was part of the charter membership. There were 39 or 40 charter members of this church back in 1971 when they officially organized. None of those people are here today. We are all a new generation. Some of us here are second or third or possibly fourth generation people. The first generation has the vision. They worked hard. They organized this church. They built these buildings over here. They gave sacrificially. They gave so that this building that we're in here today can exist. They had the vision. The second generation comes along. They solidify the vision. They build the buildings. They make sure everything's running well. They get Sunday school going. And they keep things going for the next decade or so. Then comes along the third generation. The third generation tends to lose the excitement and the vision of the first generation. They are into preserving what the forefathers have given us. Often the result is confusion and uncertainty. Possibly we just need to exist. We need to keep the thing running. We've got to keep the buildings painted and repaired. We're just going to keep the church open. That's the third generation. Then comes along the fourth generation. We today are either the third or the fourth generation. The fourth generation needs to come up with a fresh vision in order to keep the organization going. Otherwise, it's going to die. The church is now at the fourth generation. It is time. It is a time of transition and serious reflection. What will the next 50 years be like? Let's narrow that down. What will the next 5 years be like? Or the next 10 years? Probably a lot of us here today will not be here in 5 or 10 years. The church has been a stopover for many people over the years. In fact, I went through the membership roll. I'm not talking about people who just attend, the friends. I'm talking about people who actually have their name written in the book, membership book, that I have over in the office. There have been 503 different members in the last 50 years. That's a lot of people that have come through this church and have passed through and left. 503. We need to be careful to avoid what is called mission drift. This happens over time. It's often by accident. People do not realize it's happening. You have a mission, but then you begin to drift from it after a while, and soon you no longer have that original mission and vision that the founding fathers and mothers had. New people come, and they don't have that passion that the forefathers had. Without vigorous effort, institutions will slide into mediocrity. Our mission has been and always will be to make Christ-like disciples in the nations. Our mission is posted actually out in the foyer and in our Sunday school building. How can we do this? It's not based on buildings or property, but these are helpful tools. I'm thankful as pastor that we have this beautiful place. And I know Pastor Simeon and Arnold, you're thankful that we have this building to worship in, don't you? And their congregations. It is based on each person's desire to be used by God, to step out of our comfort zone, to develop a loving community, to be outward focused, to experience the fresh movement of the Holy Spirit. Traditions are important, but if we're not careful, they can slip into mediocrity and they can lead to mission drift. This is a good time to make a new commitment for how God can use each one of us here this morning. Even if you're not part of this church and you're just visiting, God can use you wherever you worship and wherever you attend. For those who are part of the Guam Nazarene, though, we need to renew our vision and make a commitment. For those who are visiting from other fellowships, I hope that you can encourage your church, your pastor, your priest, and those who attend there. Be a catalyst for a fresh vision and discipleship. What can we do as we move into the future? Practice the fundamentals: prayer, discipleship, worship. Pray for passion, holiness of heart and life, for the lost who are walking in darkness, for the effectiveness and boldness to live out our convictions, to be God's people wherever and whatever we do. Discipleship. Jesus gave his followers the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations. We need to have a vision for renewed discipleship. As Nazarenes, that is our mission statement from our headquarters. Around the world, our mission statement is to make, you should have this memorized, right? To make Christ-like disciples in the nations. That is our mission statement. There is a branch of Protestantism called evangelicals. Well, sometimes that's kind of given a bad name from politicians and so on. But you know what the word evangelical means? It comes from the Greek word which means to share the good news. Evangelical, to share the good news. Catholics, Pope Francis has a message of missionary discipleship and a new evangelism in the 21st century. The Orthodox, our Orthodox brothers and sisters, purification of the heart shown in practical living. Discipleship is part of who we are as God's people, universal around the world. Discipleship is not optional, but it is who we are as Jesus followers. The forms of our worship and the liturgies, they may be different. We may sing different songs and have different kinds of rituals that we do. Are we living faithfully as the followers of Jesus? And then participation. God calls all of us into ministry. Very few of us will be the professional clergy who will go to school for many years. But all of us are called to be ministers wherever we are. And then finally, worship. Worship is not just on Sunday morning, but it is living a transformed life. From Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Total dedication and commitment from each person, from the youngest to the oldest, each family, each person. To the young, I say this, we have a lot of young people over here and some over here. To the young people, make good choices in your life now. Put Jesus first. Become involved in the ministries of the church. To the parents, I say this, consider the heritage that you leave. If you make discipleship, spiritual growth, and church important priorities in your life, then your family, your children will see that. Don't set patterns in your life for your children that will send them down a wrong road. And to the older folks among us, don't think that you have retired from ministry and involvement in the church. You are the backbone for all that we do. Continue to live out your faith in visible ways. Find ways to connect the next generation. All generations, we are here to serve the Lord and to give our whole selves to Him.